if you want to. I don't know if you're recording. He is recording. Okay, good. But whoever, she was a blonde. She sat right here. But she's at a crossroads. Jesus told his disciples one time, said, you go down and you'll find a donkey at a place where two ways meet. That's a crossroads. And with it, and the Lord wants her to know that he's about to lead in a brand new fold. Jesus said this fold never been set upon. And then he put his coat up on it. There's a brand new mantle about to come to her. There's a struggle in her heart. It has to do with the struggle of things that she has loved. But God is saying, come up to another level. And as she comes up to another level, I'm going to heal some things that's inside of her that's going to cause her to fulfill her destiny. Because the coat speaks of a mantle of authority that God is desiring to bring on her at this time. And there's an anguish in her heart because she stands in one place spiritually, but someone who stands beside her doesn't stand in the same place spiritually. But God is saying to her, come on up to the next level and you'll look around, and those that have not been willing to come up will come up. And that every word that I give today is to be judged. You don't get a word without judging it. But let me just give you some instruction about a prophetic word. That word, not only does she need to hear the recording, she needs to write this out. The military teaches us that we retain 80% more of what we see than what we just hear. There's something powerful about the written word. Why did God put it in the Bible? Don't you believe God could have even back then had it? He had the ability to where we could have just said, oh, Lord, I want to hear John chapter 1. And a voice could have spoke out of heaven. Couldn't he? You know, when I was in Romania in 1989, before the wall fell, or actually, excuse me, 1990, right when the wall fell, that I saw a handwritten New Testament in probably five different signatures. And I asked the man, I said, what is it? And he said, that's the New Testament. He said, we couldn't have a Bible under communism. And so certain people wrote out. And the Holy Spirit came upon people just like you, sir, and gave them certain sections in the New Testament, and they wrote it out. And he showed me where the ink had run on some of the pages. And, of course, I'm having to hear it through a translator, and he was telling me, he said, that's where I cried the day they executed my son because he wouldn't deny Jesus. You know, we haven't faced those things this day, and I pray we never do. We think some of the persecution because we can't pray publicly, you know, or something like it, persecution. It's not really persecution. We've given in to this. You know, I love to say it. Prayer went out of homes a long time before it went out of the schools. You know, Mississippi, where I would do a lot of work with the governor, I have a spiritual daughter who's a prophetic artist. She is discipling the governor of Mississippi's wife on how to recognize the voice of God. Meets with her on a weekly basis. Just took the governor's wife to Israel. I don't know about you. I'm not important. But I'm determined to influence the influencers. You know what the governor of Mississippi, he has 31 mandates he wants to do for the state of Mississippi. We had someone pay $2,000 for Susan and I to be at the governor's ball so I could prophesy. They paid for each of us to be there. And it was the hardest night of my life. We were on our feet for 5.5 hours in a set of shoes that were too small that I rented to go with the tux that I had on. And then when I finally got up close to the governor, he had his Western boots on, I thought. And I just read the other day where it's not kosher to wear a tux and Western boots. Well, the next time I'm in a tux, I'll have my boots on, I want to tell you. Because my toes were blue the next day. But we prophesied. You know what his number one mandate for the state of Mississippi is? To return fathers to the homes.
Yes.
We're down to one abortion clinic in the state of Mississippi. Three in Arkansas, three in Arkansas that are recognized, two that are operating illegally. Kentucky's down to one. I believe we'll see Roe versus Wade overturned in our life, in your life. I believe that with all my heart. With it, we're working. You know, anybody ever heard of a young man named Matt Lockett? You ever seen any news where it's a group of young people standing in front of the Supreme Court with red tape on their mouth that says life? They're there every day. Matt's an old friend of mine. He leads that house of prayer there. Justice House of Prayer is what it's called. I've been there. I've prayed on the steps with him and Dutch Sheets and others with that. But they're praying against abortion. And, you know, he travels with another young man, a Texan, called Will Ford III, who teaches at Christ for the Nation. Anybody ever heard of these two? Well, Matt Lockett and Will Ford became friends, and they traveled together. And after they were traveling together, Will Ford is African-American, and his family were slaves, and they found out through a series of things that Matt Lockett's family owned Will Ford's family. Isn't it just like God to put two young men? We just brought them into Jones County, Mississippi. I don't know if you saw the movie, The Free State of Jones, but we just brought them in with Dutch Sheets and did a big meeting there based on that movie in the very hotel where that movie was filmed and some other things with that. Why? Because we're trying to operate in the opposite spirit. I close with this. I believe there's something in mine and my wife's life we can impart to you. It's not silver and gold. It's an anointing. We've paid the cost. We've built 20 churches now with no missions organization behind it. We just would get the word of the Lord. We would move in. We would carve it out of stone. And some of them have done well, and some of them have been challenged, and a few of them we had to knock in the head and close. You know, so we, you know, in the early days, we didn't understand who we were apostolically. But if you desire an impartation today, I would be honored. I believe anointings are caught and not taught. I believe they can be imparted. And so I just want to, I want to give you the opportunity, if you would like, to be prayed for with it. Do you need to say anything before with that? Just transition in there. I want to start with Steve, the worship leader. Steve, isn't it? Have I got your name right? There is songwriting in your DNA. I don't know if you're doing it, but I challenge a lot of worship leaders with that. But I heard the Lord say, tell Steve that. Do you read much out of the Message Bible? Yeah. Keep reading in it. There is a poeticness to the Message Bible. And let me just tell you, a lot of religious people say it's not a translation. I talked to Peterson himself. It is a translation. I love it. I do all my daily devotions in it. I read this morning the 17th Proverbs, chapter 17 of Proverbs. I do it tomorrow. I'll read 18 and you know, with that and stuff. But there's a, in Matthew about 11, I think, anyway, It uses this little term, unforced rhythms of grace. And I heard in your leading today, and I heard when you led us on, there was an unforced rhythm of grace. That's just simply, any of you grew up around your mom or your dad and spent a lot of, my dad and I had an unforced rhythm of grace. We owned 17 corporations. We ran them all. You know, with it, I mean, we have a lot of history in Arkansas. My family, at one time, no longer is, but was the largest well drilling service in the state of Arkansas. We were the largest land clearing, dirt moving. They're redoing I-40 bridge at the White River right now. We did all the dirt work when I-40 came through. I remember I was a youngster then. I mean, a kid. So I'm with it. But I learned how to walk with my dad in an unforced rhythm of grace. My dad could be working on something. He'd say, hand me, and I'd stick a 9/16 wrench in front of his face. I could anticipate what he was about to do. And I believe God is calling us up to a place that he wants us to be able to know what he's going to do before he does it. I believe it's called the mind of Christ. I said this yesterday and got some strange look. But see, I believe God wants us to think of things he would think of should he think of them. We're not living in a time we're going to have time to go pray about everything before we do it. Are you going to pray about whether to get a group of people out of a car wreck and the car's on fire? But yet God can give you wisdom. You know, I passed by a house one time. It was on fire, and I told the rural mail carrier was there, and I said, I'm going to go around to the back because you could tell the fire was in the front. I said, don't open any windows or doors. And just about the time I opened the back door, he busted out a window in the front, and the backflash blew me out. I wasn't burnt bad or anything like that. But what I'm saying, God wants us to have wisdom how to rescue people, how to go into the place of people's hearts. And so what I see there's for you, Steve, I see these words being written. And it's not going to be whole choruses or song. It's going to be what I would call anthems. You know, God just looking for one-liners that are powerful today, that other words get added to, and he's wanting to take that. And so I just release that over you. But with pastors, with Les's permission, If you would like for us to pray, I want Susan to come and stand with me. If you'd like for us to pray for you, we're happy to do that. There's some thing. This lady here, can you tell me your name? Catherine? Okay. Catherine, God's doing a healing in your heart. Your heart's been so broken. And it was almost like there was something that happened that just your heart was cut out of you and put on the ground and it was stomped. But you've been letting God heal it, but here's what he wants to do today. It is healed, but there's a big scar there. And anywhere there's a scar on your body, it's calloused. You don't have the feeling there. I have a scar where a saw jumped out, hit a nail and jumped out one time. I cut into the bone right there. And right there where that is calloused or this burn, I got my hand into my four-wheeler muffler and burn. And God wants to heal that scar today. Yeah. Can you come up here? I want to honor the protocols here and everything. This okay? We minister this way?
Yeah. If you
need
to leave, then you'd like to stay.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we're not trying to hold you here. But see, God gives us everywhere we go. It'll happen in Katy. Next week, we're with Cherie in Gulfport, Mississippi, where we're birthing a new church. And with it, but he'll give us someone like Catherine. You know, I think every one of you here is important today, but this is where God zeroed in on. I think Steve's word is important. I saw a witness in his eyes, and I can't wait to hear some of these songs. They're not going to be conventional, and that's what we love. But see, God knew that he was ready to read something new out of Catherine's book today. And it's about the healing coming so she can move forward. And you know what? We've had to have the same healing. My wife's given me permission, but when she was a young woman, she was molested. And it brought a lot of stuff into her life, and there had to come a healing from that. And as I shared yesterday, I was unfaithful in our covenant, and I had to get healed of those things. So, Father, we just really, will you just stretch your hand? You know, the kingdom is not about spectator Christianity. We've turned the church into a group of people sitting around, but we need your faith. We need your power of agreement here today if God's going to do in Catherine all that he desired to do so that she can become the fullness. You know what? On her most challenging day, she's a daughter of the Most High God. On her most challenging day, she's an apple in her daddy's eye. On her most challenging day, God thinks about it. In fact, I like to say it this way. You might just simply be the hem of his garment, but you're enough. You think about back during that time. You know, the lady had the issue of blood. She touched the hem. The hem of their garments was the part that touched the ground and got soiled. It was filthy. It was not pleasant to look at. There was a lot of things we could talk about. But if that's all you are in the body of Christ, the hem of his garment, you're enough. And God wants to do that. So if you want to be prayed for, would you ease this way? And we'll lay hand, but we just release over her your anointing. Remove this callous. Give her the grace to trust again. And give her the grace to love again, Lord. We just release it. Inner healing. Inner healing. Inner healing. Inner healing. Catherine, I want to ask you a question. At home, where you live, have you noticed a light bulb out recently? Is there a light bulb that's out that needs?
Sure.
I saw that. I saw you looking at it.
There's lots of them out.
Okay. Without. I don't know that I understand what I've been speaking, but I heard the Lord say, you tell Catherine I'm about to supernaturally turn lights on where she, in her home. And I believe that's speaking. I believe almost today when you get home or tonight when it gets dark, things are going to seem lighter because there's been a dark cloud. And God's moving the dark cloud away. And I've seen cleaning your windows. And I've seen putting in light bulbs. And I've seen releasing life there. And so we just bless you today. And we bless you to become all of who you are. Because you're so important to the plan of God. And there's been so much rejection and so much hurts and so much disappointment. But I'll give you a scripture. Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I don't sing. I don't know if, but there's an old song by a guy named Johnny Nash. Not kin to me, because Nashes don't have any musical ability. But it goes something like that. I can see clearly now. But instead of the rain is gone, the pain is gone. And God is giving you 20/20 spiritual vision today. And you're not going to see the attacks against you. You're going to see the victories in Jesus' name. And this lady here, do you know her? With that, the Lord says, thank you for being faithful to pray for her and to love her. Isn't it wonderful when He has someone that stands in the gap for us? You know, I had a man come and confess to me one time. He got off his medication, and he heard the Lord tell him I was the Antichrist to go and kill me and suffer his life in prison. Welcome. And yet I found out that an intercessor had been interceding for the protection of my life. And the guy said he was 5 minutes away from my home at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he heard another voice speak, you've been deceived. And he turned around and went home and got back on his medication and everything. I'm so thankful that that lady out of Wynn, Arkansas was praying for me. Shirley Gilbert was her name. She was staying in the gap, and people have been standing in the gap for Catherine. Anybody here want prayer? Want hands laid on? If you do, if you don't, I'm going to turn it over to the pastor, but we're here. Your name's Peter?
Yeah.
All right. Peter, I just want to declare this. I heard it when I met you, and you told me your name, but, you know, Peter means a rock, and there's a strength in you. And I just want to bless that. So, Father, we lay hands on Peter, and we just declare from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet that the strength of God that you have deposited in him by the Holy Spirit is going to become a pillar of strength to many other people. I thank you, Father. Peter, do you dream?
Sometimes.
I'm hearing the Lord say, I'm going to move you into another level of dreaming. But not just dreaming, you're going to begin to interpret your dreams. So, Father, I just ask it, you fulfill your word over Peter. Whatever it is you'll have him to dream about, it'll be about the kingdom. But give him the understanding, spiritual understanding of his dreams, so that your will can be done. We just impart to him more prophetic insight, Lord. More prophetic in Jesus' name. Amen. Les, can I get you and your wife up? Would she come up and stand with you? Would y'all do something to me? You've been sitting well. Would you stand to your feet? We're just doing this to honor them. You know, I love the way that this man and woman of God lead. You know, they're not trying to lead from just being out front, look at me. They're just trying to lead through motivation. I've defined leaders. A leader is someone that can take a group of people to a place they don't desire to go and cause them to discover they have destiny there. It's easy to lead people where they want to go. If I would say to everybody in this room, it's the will of God for us all to go to Hawaii for 2 weeks. I'll buy your airline ticket. I'll pay your way there. I'll cover all your expenses while you're there. How many of you feel it'd be the will of God? Okay. But remember a leader named Nehemiah? He said, okay, guys, meet me at midnight. They show up at midnight, and he said, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to survey the whole wall of the city. And by the way, I'm going to ride on this donkey, and y'all are going to walk. You know, that, you know, how many of you know that could stir some rebellion in people with that? But will you stretch your hand toward this couple as we just release over them? Hold this. Father, we just thank you for this man and woman of God. And we just declare that they are in the right place at the right time with the right resources, the right vision, and the right understanding for what's ahead. There's a big shift that's going on in their heart, going on in the spirit over Tomball, going on in the spirit over this ministry. But, Father, it is your shift, not theirs. So, Father, give them the strategy. I'm going to prophesy to you, but I'm going to prophesy over this group. And I'm going to prophesy out of Scripture, okay? Peter and John come walking by the gate beautiful one day, and a guy who'd been laying there lame from his mother's womb, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you." And he rose up and walked. And the word beautiful there is a very interesting word. It, in the Greek, is the word horeo. It's where we get our current word today, our. So when you read the gate beautiful, what it actually could be said there, the right time gate. Now think about this. That was the gate where the temple was. Jesus Christ himself walked by this lame man many, many times, but the right time had not come. But one day, Peter and John, who had not gold and silver, but the anointing, the right time. And I hear the Lord saying over this group of people and over you as leaders, you're in the right time gate. You're in the right time gate. Things are beautiful here. And in the Hebrew, the word beautiful speaks of agreeableness. See, that man who was lame from his mother's womb had to come into agreement that it was the right time. You know, he could have laid there and said, "Well, I've been lame all my life. I'll always be lame. I'll beg alms the rest of my life." But he came into agreement that the anointing, and it said he rose up and walked and he danced and all eyes were on him. But I just declare, the Lord has shown me, and it has something to do with this building. I understand there has to be limitations, but there has to be blessings here. But there's a portal of sound here. There's a portal of sound in this room. There's a portal of sound on there. I don't know how old this building is. It's here. I don't know if you can do, but I'm a researcher. But I believe that right here in Tomball, Texas, there was some spiritual meetings held many, many years ago. It makes me wonder if maybe Branham or Allen or somebody put a tent here, you know, with it on this spot. I don't know if you can find out, you know, with it. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. You know, there's a place in Arkansas called Ragtown. It's just south of Deep Ellum, a little bit further south of Holly Grove, like y'all understand where this is at. And I was always drawn to this place and I grew up around it and got a cousin that farmed 6,000 acres there and everything. Well, come to find out, the little place I was drawn to is not a church there anymore. It's a cemetery. It's all there. It's where Rex Humbart was born, and his parents pastored the little church beside that. I never knew that. Had no reference to understand that was that, but I was drawn to it. There's a portal there. In fact, I plan on, just as soon as I can finish up October, because I hadn't got a weekend off, I've got to go to Dirks, Arkansas, because the Lord has told me, and I'm going to drive down through Deep Ellum and Ragtown and all those places and just do some praying down there, because I believe if he was born there and baptized there and everything, he was the first evangelist in this nation, or nationally known evangelist. You know, him and Billy Graham came. Billy Graham was not of the Spirit-filled movement, but Rex Humbart was, and actually the first. And I don't like the word TV evangelist because it's become something that I'm not a part of. Do you understand what I'm saying? But Rex Humbard was real, and he saw a lot of people's life touched, and I appreciate the fact his parents ended up moving to Jonesboro, where we have a work and had a work there, and they brought Branham in numerous times. But you're in the right time gate, and things that you've only dreamed about up until now are about to be fulfilled with that. There are some great days ahead in your family, but in the midst of those great days, there's some challenges. But God said, you know his grace, and you're embracing it one day at a time for what's ahead and what's at hand. So, Father, we bless this man and woman, and I just declare over you. And I'm gonna look, woman of God, look me, and I want to say that you're a lot more prophetic than you know. She was that way for a year because I'm so strong prophetically. She would tell, "Oh, I'm not prophetic." And then all of a sudden it woke up in her one day. And she, you know, she, like we saw someone recently in a meeting, and she leaned over and said, "Do we know that person?" I said, "No, I don't think so." But I made a statement because the person was a Jezebel. And that doesn't mean they were a woman, okay, but they were a Jezebel. And she looked at me and said, "Wow, that's exactly what I was getting." And so you have to recognize it, and you have to embrace it with that. So I call for that prophetic to be woke up in you. Let me define the prophetic for you. It's not about speaking for God. It's about hearing from God. How many of you believe you need to hear from God before you speak for God? Amen? And that's what it is. So, Father, we bless this man and woman. We stir up the prophetic in both of them. We stir up the prophetic in both of them. We stir up the prophetic in both of them. We stir up the prophetic in both of them. And we call it forth. Out of her innermost parts will run rivers of living water. I'm going to ask, do y'all work together? Just friends? Just friend? There's a real entrepreneur anointing on you. And I feel like you're birthing right now some creative things about business. And I just want to say to you, don't be afraid to step out into them. I have a spiritual son who actually works for a big company, but he has his own LLC, and he sprung forth right out of college. And he was the guy that went into nuclear plants and did all the logistics for setting up cranes that would lift 1 million pounds. And he knocked it down. He would work about 3 months of the year and with it. And he got so good at it, the company he had learned this stuff through called him back and he worked for them. And I just feel like I'm supposed to speak this over you. But he was just offered the southwest portion of this company. It's a possibility people in this room would know the name if I said it. And he asked me as a spiritual father to pray, and I prayed, and I told him, I said, the Lord said, if you take this promotion, you'll miss his promotion. And so him and his wife, he had already heard that. It was a confirmation to him with that. But anyway, in the process of it, then the owner of the company flew into Memphis and told him, you made the right decision. I never felt you were the one. The president. It's a Christian-run company, by the way. And he said, I appreciate you praying, and I appreciate that. And so 2 weeks later, his supervisor called him in. His name is Ian, and this is what he told him. He said, Ian, the president of the company have given us direct orders that within the next 18 months, we're going to create a new position just for you in Memphis, because that's where all his family is. And they're now they got two little girls, and they're expecting twins, so they're going to need family support, okay? But we're going to create this position just so we can keep you in Memphis. And the $46,000 a year raise you would have got if you'd have moved to Phoenix, you're going to get. There's that kind of favor on you. Now, I don't know how this worked out, but I don't know what you do or what you're dreaming to do. But I'm just telling you, as you press into God, there's a thing. And it's almost like you two guys are going to be the sons of thunder. He cares a lot more. You're going to touch the business mountain. Very significant, as well as I don't call the religious mountain the religious mountain. I like to call it the spiritual mountain. I don't like religion. How many of you had it up to here with religion? You know, religion, it tells us what we can do and can't do. You know, I have people tell me I can't wear my beard like this. You can't really be a preacher and wear your beard like this. I can wear my beard any way I want to. Amen? As long as it pleases her. And, you know, or dress a certain way. I love, you know, I'm more anointed in blue jeans than I am in a sport coat and all that stuff with that. And so I just release that word over you. But I see you stand, he'll stand on the business and spiritual. You'll stand on the spiritual and business. Your main foot's going to be. There's a legacy of ministry up your bloodline somewhere. And God's redeeming it with that and stuff. The Lord loves your tender heart, sir. Life has given you some hardships too. And you know how to cry. And you know the time that you've had to cry. That they were really your strength. And God wants you to know He's pleased with your tears. Because you've wept over the loss of friends. You've wept over the loss of money. You've wept over business decisions that you saw other people make that you knew it wouldn't just affect the business, it would affect the employees. And you've wept over that. But I see an effective door opening to the two of you. And, you know, let's, I want to be very gracious here, but I believe we could say we're not as young as we used to be. That would be a very politically almost correct statement. Okay. But God wants the two of you to know what He has prepared for you is ahead of you. It's not behind you. You know, I'm not talking about not retiring, but it's not about retirement. It's about refinement. And they're a thing. God, there's a people group that's going to listen to you. And you're going to reach out to them and you're going to share wisdom. And I just want to honor this man and say and honor all the men in this room. But we need the gray of your hair. And I want to say this, young men. In fact, I'm going to say it this way. I'm going to say it differently. What made the prodigal son a prodigal? Come on, answer me. Huh? Good answer. What made him a prodigal was he took his inheritance to a faraway country. In other words, he removed his inheritance from the gray hair of his daddy. It wasn't that his dad controlled it, because when an inheritance was given, it was given. But what it was about, the wisdom that had put gray hair in his daddy's head. And we need the gray hairs. Mine's starting to come. My dad was 70 before he turned gray. I don't think I'm going to make it, okay? But we need the gray hairs. In fact, one of the words of elder means to see over, but one of the definitions of it is gray-haired. And with that. And so I honor you and all the men and women of this room that have the maturity, because we need it. But the young men and women need that and stuff. You know this lady? Okay, come and just stand with me. Here's what I'm saying for you. There's a word in the Greek called metamorpho. And it's where we get our word metamorphosis. And basically, it's when a caterpillar comes out of the womb and becomes a butterfly. And life has dealt you some tough hands. And let's be truthful. Some of your decisions has dealt your own self some tough hands. But God has redeemed you. And let me just say to you, this is what I hear the Lord saying. Martha, be a Mary. And so you're very comfortable to wait tables and be behind the scene and care about people. And you're filled with hospitality. But God's wanting you to come up into a spiritual role. And what I'm seeing is a beautiful butterfly come out of that cocoon. And the first thing he's going to take, can I have your name? What's your name?
Angela.
Angela? Angela? The first thing you're going to have to do is fall in love with yourself. Yeah. Okay, now listen to me. I'm going to quote scripture to you. For there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Okay? Now, let me just, this is so important. You know that what goes on in the body of Christ when people can't receive their identity is when they won't forgive themselves. Anybody beside me got decisions that you made that you regret? Come on, but don't we all? I sold a business one time. My father and I sold a business, and I wasn't saved. And I took a note under the table so Uncle Sam wouldn't know about it and I wouldn't have to pay taxes on it for $348,000, and the man beat me out of it and beat my dad out of the same amount. Because you understand, I wasn't saved. With it. And he just beat us out of the money. And you know what was bad about it? We sold him a business that my grandfather had bought in 1931. Not only did we lose some of the money, but we lost a history and a tradition. Someone asked me, he said, if you won the lottery, what would you do? Well, one of the things I'm going to do, I've made a promise to my congregation, I'm going to pay off everybody's debt that tithe. 93% of my church tithe. The other 7%, they're out of luck. But if they tithe, I'm going to pay their debt off. But can I tell you what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a farm equipment business. And no, I'm not going to run it. I would hope my son or grandson would run, but they don't all hire somebody to run. But I'm going to own one, because in 1931, my grandfather bought one. And part of my legacy is this. My dad and his brothers, Nash Brothers, grew that business into the largest farm equipment dealership in the United States. And we sold it and got beat. I hear the Lord saying, what is it you want him to do for you? I believe you. There's something you're supposed to speak for him to be able to do it. Is there something deep in your heart you want him to do today? Okay. Now listen, you don't mind anybody else knowing that? Can I speak that a little bit loud about it? She's talking about depression, okay? And that's not embarrassing. She went through a year, you know, with it, that she had it. And let me just tell you what I did. I quit traveling, came home, and I spent 3 weeks washing her with the water of the Word, as a husband should, his wife, and she got healed. And yes, we invested $138,000 in the business and lost it. But we came through it, didn't we? But let me tell you where your depression is coming from. Okay? Part of it has to do with discouragement. Now, if you need to leave, please do. But I want to zero in for this wonderful woman of God. Discouragement does not come. You can be safe if you need. Discouragement does not come because you don't get the job you want, or the husband you want, or the wife you want, or you don't win the lottery, you don't get a raise, you don't get a promotion. The word discourage is the word dock off. You mentioned about our dog today. When he was just a few days long old, they docked his tail off. You know what they cut? So discouragement has to do with like a ship leaves the dock. And the only way that discouragement comes, when you look it up in the Hebrew and Greek, is when you disconnect yourself from Christ's purpose and your destiny. So we're going to deal with that today, but here's what we want to do. We're going to break a generational curse, because this depression goes up your bloodline, and there's been an open door there. And we're going to close that door today. Do you believe God can do that? Amen. I do too. What's your name?
Ginger,
I believe God can do that for you today, Jen. But actually, so when I see it, I see above your mother to like your grandmother, and then it moves over to your grandmother's sister. And there was a lot of depression there. And I believe God is going to break that. We're going to close that door. I did a bloodline cleansing a few years ago, and a door was closed. And there was a door open because I have Cherokee blood. I have a great, great, great grandmother who was a full-blooded Cherokee preacher. And her ancestors built false altars and worshiped graven images, and the door was open. And when we closed that door, the battle that I'd been battling for 30 years of ministry went away. And so we believe we can close that door today. Is this okay? I want my wife to just lay her hand right here. The scripture said, God's word says, out of our innermost part runs rivers of living water. Amen? Woo. Out of our innermost. See, I believe God wants to release water out of you with that. So, Father, we just pray for Ginger. And we go back to this generational curse of depression. And wherever the door opened, we repent. We repent. We repent for the opening of that door by her ancestors. And we just command that door to be closed, and we break depression off of her, and we break this generational curse and assignment of hell, and we cast it down, and we just call for the rivers of living water to flow out of her. Ginger, God's going to give you words to speak. The book of Job says, declare something and it will be established. Declare. And God's going to give you words that you're going to speak that's going to drive away this depression. So, Father, we just pray a protective hedge of the blood of Christ and the word of God around Ginger, and we rebuke this assignment now in Jesus' name. And we just release over her. We just release over her. This is what I'm seeing. And Pastor, I'm taking a step here. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I feel like I'm seeing that at least 7 people need to approach Ginger before she leaves and say, I'm going to be praying for you on Monday. I'm going to be praying for you on Tuesday. I'm going to be praying for you on Wednesday. I'm going to be praying for you on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. A week of prayer that's going to pray because it's going to help you. There's power in the power of agreement. Where 2 or 3 come together, agreeing is touching. You know, you reached out and took my hand. There's a power. I'm of the era that when 2 men shook on something, it meant something. I borrowed $243,000 when I was a teenager on a handshake and turned it into a multi-million-dollar company, trucking company, on a handshake. The man who loaned me the money, this is what he said. He said, your grandfather borrowed from my grandfather, and your dad borrowed from my dad, and your dad's borrowed from me, and they paid all of it back. He said, I'm going to loan you this money. And I bought 5 old trucks and started hauling cotton seed from cotton gin and turned it into multi-million-dollar business. And so there's power in agreement today for you, Ginger. And so don't leave here today without coming. And maybe somebody's already taken the day you want to give her. Just take a day. Take a day with that. Take a day. If you'll take a day, we can battle this back. Because let me just share with you, it's not really revival until every church has experienced it. And it's not really healing until the body of Christ is healed. I've been healed numerous times, you know, with it. I had a bunion come on my foot a couple of years ago. I've been totally healed of it. I had hemorrhoid, totally healed. I could tell you. But I want to see the body of Christ healthy. So, Father, we just release this over Ginger now in Jesus' name. Amen. What's your name here? What?
Sarah.
Sarah, you are a spiritual ninja. I want to quote a scripture to you. When you sat down today, the Lord spoke to me, and this is what he said. It's a scripture. Jesus I know and Paul I know. But look it up. Those 2 words know are 2 different words in the Greek. And what it actually would have been better translated, Jesus I know and Paul I'm getting to know. You're getting to be known in the second heaven. And you are a spiritual warrior for people. And you stand in the gap. And you're almost like Delta, special op, of going into the spirit realm and pulling people out of the fire. And God's going to increase it. But not only that, he's going to refocus you just a little bit. Not that your focus is wrong. But he's going to refocus you so that you can begin to raise up and impart to people what you've got. Because God needs some more spiritual ninjas. He needs some more spiritual warfare. You know, the word warfare is the word strategero, where we get our current word strategy, which Strong's defined warfare. The weapons of our warfare is this: apostolic career, one of danger and hardship. And you understand that, and you go into the fire, and you pull people out of the fire, and God's going to use you in a more tremendous way. I just feel right now to just pray over everyone and just release something. I want you to know what an honor, and I'm going to leave with it. You want prayer? Okay. I'm going to leave with Les here some books, and he can bless you with them or whatever. We sell product, but I promise you, I give away probably $6,000 more a year than what we sell. But I've written a couple books that, to be truthful, people tell me it's changed their lives. So maybe it'll have an impact, or maybe God will just tell you to give it to someone. Is there anything in particular you just want to be stirred up?
I have a lot of guilt for the emotional pain that I put my wife through.
Okay.
So I'm just dealing with a lot of that.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know the whole situation, but let me just tell you what. St. Francis, you ever heard of St. Francis of Assisi? Mm-hmm. He made a great statement. I love it. He said, preach the gospel wherever you go, and when you have to, use words. And I love to say to husbands, don't tell your wife you're going to change. Let her read your epistle. I'm telling you, with it. I've got a situation right now. I'm baptizing a guy next Sunday at our home church, and he keeps making a bigger mess. His wife's been unfaithful to him, and he keeps trying to fix her. And he just needs to leave her alone and let his epistle be loudly read with that. And I'm not, you know, I'm just speaking to you. So let with it. You know, the clothes of humility look good on anyone. I've never owned a tailor-made suit, but I've been around a couple of guys that had them. Man, they look sharp in them. I've even thought, if I could look that good, I'd have one. You know, with that, no, I wouldn't. I finally got to do a wedding. I wasn't in a suit, and that was my day. That was on my bucket list, amen. But we bless you. What's your first name?
David.
We bless you, David. And I believe David, you know, I believe you have the heart of David. You know, he said in me, create in me a clean spirit. Create in me a contrite spirit. And with that, and, you know, I never was abusive to Susan, but I was, you know, I was gone. I gambled all the time, everything. I had a lot. But God redeemed us. We've been married 44 years. She's my best friend. She's my motorcycle riding partner. And with that, she knows how to use a 357. I mean, you know, with it. So, Father, I bless David, and I come in agreement. Lord, you heard before he even come up here, you heard his heart's cry. He didn't desire to talk about change. He desires to change. You, God's grace will empower David to become who you've called him to be. Not by doing, but by simply being. So we bless David now. We pray a protective hedge of the blood of Christ and the word of God around him. And we rebuke every assignment in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want every eye closed for just a moment. I haven't done this in many years, but I just feel this. Is there anyone here and you don't feel your relationship is where it needs to be with the Lord? Just stick your hand up very quickly because I'm going to pray. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Now, here's the second question I want to ask. Maybe of the people that held their hand up, maybe others. Is there anybody here that you felt when you were a younger person that there was a call of God and you didn't heed it, and that brings disappointment and condemnation to you? Is there anybody here that you feel like God called you into ministry, but you didn't yield to it as a young person, and you feel like your time passed you by? Is that anyone here? Okay. Not anymore. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to just pray over these that's lifted their hand. Father, you know where they are in their relationship with you, and you're always there. You're a good, good father, as we've already sung about. And we just declare that you're going to reveal yourself to them on a new page, a new day, in a new way, and with new grace. And it's going to draw them up into that place of fulfillment by being who you called them to be totally in Jesus' name. From the depth of our heart, Les, thank you for the honor. Thank you, Cherie and Jim, for opening this door. We bless you. Be praying for us, you know, with it. We are taking on, we have taken on this assignment to purchase this large tract of land and develop this ministry. And just maybe you know some young, I've already had someone contact me about their grandchild, you know, who is grown, adolescent, that need to learn life skills. I believe it can turn this nation around. And we want to run this wilderness life school and teach young people. But we've got to raise $1 million to do it. No, I'm not taking an offering. But I'm just letting you know to pray. But I will tell you, if you do want to know more, my email is claynash@claynash.org. Isn't that easy? claynash@claynash.org. And if you'll write me, we'll send you out the letter that we're putting out there. Or maybe you know someone that might want to contribute. We're a 501c3. We're going to sign in the very beginning. We will never draw any money, any salary from this ministry. And we're believing for God to do it and do it quick so we can get it up and we can start bringing young people there. Because if we can turn young people's life around, they can go turn other young people's life around. So from the depth of our heart, thank you for the honor of being here today. Probably a little longer service than you normally have, but I believe some hearts were touched.
Absolutely. Let's give Clay and Susan a hand as we end here.